Bless the Lord who forgives all of our sins.
His mercy endures forever.
We begin with the Decalogue found on page 350. Please kneel. Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods but me. Amen. Lord, have mercy. You shall not make for yourself any idol. Amen. Lord, have mercy. You shall not invoke with malice the name of the Lord your God.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Honor your father and your mother.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit murder.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit adultery.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not steal.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not be a false witness.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry. We humbly repent.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of our world, our hearts may surely there be fixed, where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with all the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it with thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Thank you.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. How much did Jesus know about his death? Did he know that he was going to die on a cross? Did he know that he would undergo excruciating pain? Did he know that everything would change so quickly? Scholars have grappled with this issue for centuries. Some believe that Jesus, being both God and man, would have known everything that was going to happen to him. Others, saying that Jesus was also fully human, believe that he knew nothing, but only sensed some turmoil. Perhaps we will never know exactly what Jesus knew for sure. But we can tell from today's reading that Jesus was beginning to feel pain before he was even captured. The disciples are having a grand old time. They're anticipating a large movement. They can't wait for Jesus to liberate Jerusalem from the Romans. They've got it all mapped up. Philip meets up with some Greeks in today's reading. The Greeks want to meet Jesus, and since the disciples think that it's important for Jesus to get a huge following, Philip gets excited and he goes to Andrew. There's a bunch of Greeks who want to meet Jesus. Let's set up a meeting time. So Philip and Andrew go to Jesus. Lord, we have a huge group that wants to meet with you. When can we do it? And Jesus gives the strangest response. He doesn't answer them at all. Instead, he says that the Son of Man must be glorified. And he launches into this speech about how if you want to lose your life, you will gain it. If you want to hold on to your life, you will lose it. And he talks about a grain of wheat, how it falls to the ground and it has to die before it can bear fruit. And in the middle of this theological talk that no one seems to understand, Jesus has a moment of intimacy, a moment of vulnerability. He says, "My soul is troubled. My soul is troubled." The word in the ancient Greek is to be very agitated and pained, like boiling water, that his soul was roiling with pain and turbulence. My soul is troubled. I want this to go away, but what can I say? What can I say to you, God, except glorify your name? Jesus was in pain. He sensed that something was going to happen to him. And it was deeply disturbing. He wanted to ask God to take it away, but he knew that what he really needed to say was, "God, glorify your name." And he's so open about how he feels. He says it right out there for all of us to see. "I am boiling over." But no one hears him. Not a single disciple listens to his pain. What he says seems to go right over their heads. Why? Because they couldn't bear it. Because it wasn't part of their plan. Because just like you and me, the disciples didn't like pain. They just wanted it to go away. You know, I think that Americans, we've become disciples of numbness. If you got a headache, take Advil. If you got a sore throat, take this, take that. Our first thought is, when you're in pain, get rid of it. Fast. Pain is something bad, something that needs to be wiped away. A sign of failure. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't take medicine. But what I am saying is when you suffer, be it physically or mentally, look at your pain, listen to it, before you wipe it away, listen to what it is saying to you. Pain can be a great teacher. God can be, in fact, glorified through your pain, through your suffering. When something goes wrong in our lives, when we're hurting, what we really want is for someone to be there with us in our struggles. Not for someone to fix it or make it go away, but to be with us. I remember when my father-in-law was diagnosed with cancer. I was in seminary, and I was so upset. I went to see a counselor. This woman was terrible. She told me that her father was in much worse shape. She told me all the steps I needed to do to make sure he was getting the right treatment. She tried to fix everything, and by the time I left, I felt like she should be paying me. Needless to say, I didn't go back. What did she do wrong? It was as if she couldn't tolerate my pain, so she tried to fix it right away. She tried to make everything right, but it wasn't right. And in trying to make it something that it wasn't, she ignored me. I didn't feel heard at all. We are going through a very painful moment in this country. Many of you have heard about the tragedy of Trayvon Martin. A young black boy who was walking through a gated community when a leader of the neighborhood watch came out and shot him in the back. Now, there's much detail about this that we have yet to know. But this tragedy has become magnified in the media, and the whole country is looking at it. And normally, I wish that our news would have some good news. But in this instance, I think that our investigation, our examination of this tragedy is very good, that it's very important. Because the shame that we feel, the discomfort that we feel when we hear about this story, tells us a number of things. Our pain tells us that we have identified some problems in our culture. We are beginning to identify the fact that all of us make judgments too quickly based on a person's appearance rather than their person. That we are threatened by those that look different than we do. That we need to not judge so quickly, but to listen and watch. We are also learning that our culture is prone to lift up and magnify violence. Look at this new movie, The Hunger Games, making millions and millions of dollars. And what is it about? It's about young people who go into an arena and kill one another until only one person is left. And that is entertainment. It is important for us to look at our pain and our discomfort because they can teach us something. Because pain can bring about change. It can transform. Pain is not the enemy. It is a messenger. I wonder about, what if even one of the disciples had listened to Jesus, had heard his pain before the cross, before the capture, before the torture? What if just one person had heard what he was saying? Could we at least have comforted him then? We always talk about how the disciples abandoned Jesus on the cross, how they ran away. But they really ran away a lot earlier. As Jesus gets closer and closer to Golgotha, he gets lonelier and lonelier. So when you hurt, I ask you to look at your pain, examine your suffering. What is happening to you? What is wrong? Jesus says that God will be glorified through his pain. So after you ask yourself what is wrong and you listen, the next step is to say, what can God do with this failure, this mistake, this suffering? What can God do to glorify that pain? Through it, to bring resurrection and hope to others. Our greatest failure of all the world, in my mind, was the cross, what we did to our Lord. And look how God was glorified in that. If God can be glorified in that, can't you believe that God could be glorified through your worst mistakes, through your hardships, through your pain? Learn from your pain. Listen to it. It is a great teacher. Amen.
Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Almighty God, we come before you to pray for this world that you have made. Good Lord,
hear us.
For all who suffer, for the hungry, the sick, and those who are in pain, good Lord,
hear us.
For lasting peace throughout the world, that all human beings might come to respect and honor one another, good Lord,
hear us.
For this planet, that we may learn to cultivate and value the resources that you have given us, good Lord,
hear us.
For the church throughout the world, for the Episcopal Church in Florida, and for this cathedral, our church home, that we may welcome many people to your holy table, good Lord,
hear us.
For those who have died, we especially give thanks for the lives of Doris Miller and Gloria Bagnola. Good Lord,
hear us.
For ourselves, for our lives, for our loved ones, that we may move mountains in service to you. Good Lord,
hear us.
We thank you for this time to worship, for those that we love, for all good gifts that you have given us, and for every breath that we take, good Lord,
hear us.
Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son. Accept and fulfill our petitions, we pray, not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know and love us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to your cathedral. We're so glad that you're here today. If you're new or visiting, we have a little card in your pew, and if you fill it out, we will send you our e-newsletter. We also have folks in the back of the church who can give you a tour and a gift bag. We're so glad you all are here. Next Sunday begins the holiest season of the Christian year. It is called Holy Week. And you will find in your bulletins that all of you should have a dark green sheet, which specifies all of the services of Holy Week. I hope that you will take this home, maybe put it on your refrigerator, and decide which services you would like to attend. Holy Week is a very special time in which we walk with Jesus through his passion and death to the resurrection. And if you participate in it, you will find that Easter means a great deal. We begin Holy Week with Palm Sunday. And next Sunday, there is no Sunday school. Instead, all of you are invited to gather with our community and five other denominations at Hemming Plaza. There we will say a few prayers and walk, led by Jesus on a donkey, all the way through the streets of downtown Jacksonville, dropping off every other denomination until we finally get here to the cathedral. And then our worship will begin at 10:30. So I hope you will join us on Palm Sunday. And as you look over the Holy Week schedule, there is one part that we do need you to RSVP to. On Wednesday night, we have a Seder dinner. We actually walk through the Passover meal that Jesus would have celebrated on the night before he died. The Seder meal takes a lot of preparation and food, so we do need to have a head count. If you want to come, you can see Monica, who is in the back of the church, or you can also call the church office to let us know that you'd like to come. I want to say a special thank you to everyone who is a lay leader. If you are a lay leader, would you stand? We have lay leaders? We do. These people came yesterday and they weeded all of our gardens and made them beautiful for us. Thank you. Thank you. They're beautiful. And a special thank you to Nina Searcy, who organized the whole thing, and to Tommy Thomas, who could not weed, so he bought everybody food, which is a wonderful thing. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We were bound in sin, but in your compassion you redeemed us, reconciling us to yourself with the precious blood of Christ. Therefore, with the people of every nation, tribe, and language, with the whole church on earth and in heaven, joyfully we give you thanks and sing. Gave us your only Son, Jesus Christ, once for all on the cross to be the one perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world, that all who believe in him might have eternal life. The night before he died, he took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." After supper, he took the cup. When he had given you thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me." Therefore, Heavenly Father, in the sacrament of the suffering and death of your Son, we now celebrate the wonder of your grace and proclaim the mystery of our faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Redeemer God, rich in mercy, infinite in goodness, we were far off until you brought us near, and our hands are empty until you fill them. As we eat this bread and drink this wine, through the power of your Holy Spirit, feed us with your heavenly food. Renew us in your service, unite us in Christ, and bring us to your everlasting kingdom. From you and through you and for you are all things. To you be the glory forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercy. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and is raised for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ. In him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, Amen. The Lord. May Almighty God fill you with courage, wisdom, and joy. May Jesus Christ, your strong companion and never-failing friend, make you strong in faith and defend you on every side. May the Holy Spirit guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, rest upon you this day and evermore.
Peace, to love and serve the Lord.